Are you someone who loves Christmas to the point that you really hate to take the decorations down, even if it's now January 15th? If you answered yes, you are a Noelophile. And so am I, and this show is for you.
Hi, I'm Dot Cannon, also known as Noella Noelophile.
And welcome to my Noelophile podcast. On this show, we're going to be talking about Christmas in general and California Christmas in particular.
Really, my ultimate goal for everybody and everything is let's grow food successfully, organically. Let's let everyone know how easy it is. And here are the supplies to do so.
Whitney Wade uses her creative talents in a unique area. She loves gardening, and she designs garden kits for people who want to grow their own food on a small scale. She also teaches workshops in her community. Currently, Whitney is exhibiting her garden kits for sale both in Jackalope Arts Virtual Holiday Market and online through her new small business, Plant Grow Eat. In addition, Whitney offers a lot of free resources on gardening on her blog and through weekly lessons online. Whitney, how did creating gardens first come on your radar as something you really love to do?
I have been gardening since I was a kid. I grew up in the San Fernando Valley of Los Angeles. And we had terrible, terrible soil. And so my parents had one little section of our yard that they had tended to help things grow. And still nothing really grew, but we all tried and tried again. And we kept trying even just with replanting houseplants and redoing this and redoing that. And what ended up happening is as I got older and figured out what my gardening options were, you know, so I lived in an apartment and I was lucky enough to get a community plot in Santa Monica and I started gardening and growing food there. And then when I moved to a place with a yard, I started growing food there. And for me, gardening started with planting ferns and spider plants and it blossomed into growing food, which then is really about how can I, you know, do my part in saving the planet and creating better lives and better health for myself, my family, and then branching out to others.
Fast forward to now where you have Plant Grow Eat. Would you tell me the story of how you got to that, please?
Yeah, so Plant Grow Eat started as a vision when I was sick and kind of strung out on steroids. I was working in the entertainment industry and had been for years and years, and the pressure had just started to really take a toll on me physically. And I was, you know, trying to figure out what else can I do and take advantage of really figuring out what else can I do that I love so that it's not just some sort of lateral move into a different job. It's a move into something that, you know, is important to me and that I could find joy in, especially as I get older. I don't want to waste time. You know, and I loved production. There's a huge part of the production hustle that I missed that I actually have successfully brought over with me to gardening in terms of scheduling and budgets and that sort of thing. But it came out of my own physical sort of depletion. And what can I do for myself? And then, like I said, what can I do for others in the world? And that's where I came up with the idea of growing food, helping people to grow food, helping people to understand that it's not scary. There's no such thing as a black thumb. I'm here to help, and it's not a, you know, it's what I pride myself on is that I'm not a, here's your garden and good luck growing it, is that I'm available and I'm part of it, and whatever you want in terms of help. Some people want a lot of help. Some people don't want any help. Some people fall in the middle. Is that I'm here for whatever that is to help you be successful in growing food.
What were your first steps like from that vision, from realizing what you really love to do that you could do and make a living? What were your first steps to making your dream a reality?
So, first of all, I am, you know, a member of a family, and I was a significant breadwinner. And I'm not anymore. And so part of it was making sure that my family was in on this with me so that, you know, it was supported from all sides. The other thing that I did was you know, sort of figure out how I could make my own garden and my own life my billboard for others to kind of be inspired by, which is actually uncomfortable for me to say, because I'm not in it to inspire people through me. I'm in it to inspire people through themselves. But if I'm not living it, then it's fake, you know? So I have a big garden in my front yard, which is my test garden, which is out in front of people's faces. We have a lot of foot traffic in my neighborhood. So I make sure that people can see it, and I'm out there, and people stop and ask me questions, and I'm doing it in front of people. And with that, it was, you know, what exactly am I doing? I'm building and maintaining and teaching. I work in people's individual homes. I work with their families. I give lessons. I also work in schools and teach the kids. I started as a volunteer when my kid was going to school and started a garden program where he went, which branched into a couple of garden programs at other schools. So it really sort of organically started, no pun intended. I started with a particular vision, but was flexible enough to have it move around as I discovered sort of my niche and my strengths, and as well as what I enjoy doing, which really ultimately has been teaching and getting people growing versus let me build a beautiful garden. Of course, I want whoever's garden I build to be beautiful and productive. But the main thing is that it's an experience, and I want to share that experience and teach that experience and really, really start with the whole plant, grow, eat cycle.
Right now, you have some great-looking garden kits on Jackalope's virtual holiday market. Would you tell me a little bit about these?
Yeah, so I have these garden kits that were part of my initial vision of Plant, Grow, Eat. But I'll be honest, is that before Corona, I didn't have time to really focus on that aspect of my business. So since being forced to slow down and focus and been given some extra time, I was so thrilled to be able to get my kind of more online merchandise presence up and running. And something that struck me at the very beginning of doing this, which was about 5 or so years ago, was walking around a Jackalope art fair in Pasadena here in California and saying to myself, this is where I want to start selling my kits. And when they said, we're going to be doing a virtual market, just as I was ready to sort of launch my online business, it was sort of serendipitous. And so I'm really excited to offer my garden kits, which my garden kits are a small extension of kind of my own garden. I work in raised beds. I believe that we have much more control over the soil and the water and what we can grow in raised beds. So I have galvanized, lead-free, made-in-America buckets that I work with. I provide the soil that is amended with organic nutrients. I provide the seeds, depending on what people want to eat, is really what I do. It's like a lot of people think they should grow kale, but not everyone likes kale, so let's not plant kale. I also provide the instructions. I provide a recipe. And mostly, like I said, I provide support. So we have a community where we do questions and answers, trying to develop a sort of a destination where people can go for information on how to grow food. So that comes with your kit. And really, my ultimate goal for everybody and everything is let's grow food successfully, organically. Let's let everyone know how easy it is. And here are the supplies to do so.
Let's be sure and give the links where people can find your kits, where they can become part of the community you're developing.
That's awesome. Thank you. So I have started plantgrowEat.com, and my community portion actually is going to be launched in the next week or so. But in the meantime, that's where I have my kits and some merchandise. I have some apparel that has gotten some good feedback. And I also have on Instagram, I do a morning show on Saturday mornings at 8:30 Pacific time, which is called Weekends in the Garden. And sometimes those shows end up being more about life than gardening, but life and gardening is so kind of melded that the lessons of the garden frequently translate to lessons of life, which is let's try again, let's wait and see, let's, you know, eat what we grow. And so that's been a really fun addition to sort of the community, is doing these free little lessons online. And yeah, I'm just trying to get out there. I'm on Facebook also, which is at Plant Grow Eat Food, which is where I am on Facebook. I'm on Twitter, which is Plant Grow Eat, underscores in between. And yeah, just trying to get the word out and develop a place where we can openly talk about growing food, how it affects our lives, and sort of, you know, have fun with it too.
Let's get some people tempted to join you. I'd like to have you share one of the common questions you get for weekends in the garden, and how do you answer that question?
One of the common questions I get, especially in weekends in the garden, is what can I grow now? And, you know, we're very fortunate in Los Angeles that we can grow all year round. So there are basically two main seasons in Los Angeles, and then there are a couple of in-between transitional seasons. So the main season is the warm season, and the main season is the cold season. And then there are the transitional parts that are on the boundaries of those. So right now we're in the middle of the cold season, and right now is a lot of leafy greens, spinach, lettuce, kale, and then the cabbages, bok choy, broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, onions are now, and carrots and radishes, a couple of herbs that don't. They'll usually go all year round, but parsley, cilantro are good things to grow right now, and root things are good to grow right now, beets, radishes, carrots, and then the warm season is tomatoes, cucumbers, green beans, peppers, that kind of stuff. But yeah, that's the main thing. And then the second follow-up to that is, how often should I water? Which is really kind of more intuitive than mathematical, so it's field soil and see if it needs water. But in general, if I'm just going to give some sort of blanket answer to that, I'd say every other day.
You know what I'm curious about? I'm wondering how the pineapple's doing.
Ah, so you've been tuning in. I love it. I did a what to do with food scraps, or how to grow food in your own kitchen from your own stuff, a couple of weeks ago on Weekends in the Garden. And one of my tips was that you can take the top off of a pineapple. You don't cut it, you just kind of break it off. And that is the beginning of a new pineapple plant. And you start it in some water and wait for it to grow some roots. And then you can transplant it in soil in a container, which I have a few of these plants now going. But the thing with pineapples in particular is that they take so long. They take a couple of years to really develop and grow. But I'll tell you, I'm looking at it right now, actually, in my windowsill, and I think I waited too long. Well, no, wait a second. See, we're doing it live right now, Dot. I see a root starting to come out. So it's been a week since I put it in water, the pineapple top, and there you go. We have a root.
Nice.
So I'll keep monitoring it, exactly.
Currently, Whitney has large, medium, and small garden kits available through Plant Grow Eat. And she has some exciting plans for the future.
I am, in addition to at the beginning of the year, part of the Zoom thing that I'm looking forward to launching is also making some of my kits more kid-friendly. I work with so many kids and families that I think that kids, you know, Whitney Houston had that song, Children Are the Future, and wow, they sure are. And if we can get kids growing and eating because they love to eat the vegetables that they grow, even when they say, I don't like kale, 99% of them find out that they do when they grow it themselves. So I'm also looking forward to launching more kid-friendly things in the coming new year towards sort of more of a spring launch. So yeah, it's, to me, let's get more kids involved in this as soon as possible.
Let's look at one of those kid-friendly kits right now and have you tell me how it works. What do we have?
So in a kid-friendly kit will basically be the same as one of my regular garden kits, but I think that it will be, you know, what do kids want to grow? Kids consistently want to grow carrots. They consistently want to grow strawberries. you know, so, and then branching into things that may be a little bit more risky. But I think also when I provide a recipe is really making sure that I'm keeping a kid's taste buds in mind. You know, like, for example, I grow radishes in the in-between times with the students that I work with at schools. And one of the reasons I do that is because they're easy to grow, they're quick, and they're, you know, they provide a lot of instant gratification. You pull them out of the ground, it's fun. But I think that most kids are afraid of eating radishes. They've been told that they're spicy. Maybe they had a radish at some point. Most of the kids haven't, though. And finding the right words. So instead of saying that the radish is spicy, I say that it makes my mouth sparkle or it makes my mouth tingle. And trying to find a way to kind of pique the kids' curiosity so that they'll actually be interested in trying something. Ooh, I want my mouth to feel sparkly. Yeah, let me try that radish. And not, you know, have a big bite. You don't have to eat the whole thing. But it's more about getting kids to try things. And that's sort of going to be more the angle rather than, you know, most adults are afraid to garden. They think, like I said, they have a black thumb. So it's really providing a lot of security and support for a lot of people. But with kids, it's really making it fun and curious and having them take pride in what they've grown so much so that they want to try to eat it. And that's going to be more the angle of my kids' stuff.
The one thing that concerns me, and this is not a Christmas question, it's more of a practical question, is that when you plant fruit trees and things, you will get pests. And we get squirrels and sometimes we get rats because they love tomatoes. What do you do?
So, yes, pests are always a challenge in the garden. And I'll be honest, I have better luck getting kind of deterring pests with my metal tubs than I do with wooden tubs. The animals, the critters don't seem to like the feel of the metal, which is a bonus that I wasn't aware of until I figured it out myself. You know, I try to, there's a lot of things we can do with companion planting. So there are a lot of plants that critters don't like particular flowers or herbs or onions. They generally don't like things that we would consider odoriferous. So I do a lot of companion planting. Sometimes, you know, there are a couple of gardens actually that I just installed recently where I did also include a trellis that I could hang a net over. So I use bird netting to deter squirrels and rats. You know, raccoons and possums like to dig for bugs, so they're not necessarily in it for the food of it. They're in it for the bugs that are living in the soil. So sometimes, you know, there's the bottom line is that we do our best to deter. And then if there's a problem, like an infestation of bugs or something, then I will use some organic methods to get rid of things. But mainly, it's trying to find a balance of, look, we're going to share with our neighbors, and our neighbors happen to be critters. So it's figuring out how we can sort of give them what we want while still maintaining our goal of being able to harvest from our peach tree, which can sometimes be tricky.
There is that. It is their planet, too. I was wondering, when you talked about life lessons, you have a wonderful one on your blog about your boots and a solid foundation. What life lesson might you like to share from your experience gardening that has to do with where we are right now, Christmas season 2020, and dealing with some circumstances we hadn't really seen before?
So I'm glad you saw the boot blog post on my website. I think that for me and for the people I work with actually also, we're all in this same boat, and we're all struggling in our individual ways. And it's really about sort of letting go of expectations and being able to adjust plans when things don't kind of resolve as quickly or in the way we'd like to. And that is, to me, really the whole thing about gardening, is that I planted seeds at the beginning of the cold season, and then there was a heat wave and the seeds didn't open. And then I planted some more seeds and only half of them opened. And now I'm going to plant some seedlings because I want stuff to grow. And all of that adjustment is all of it. You know, it's so important to be able to, you know, make a plan, but then shift as the plan doesn't come together as we expected or wanted.
flexibility, that can be a big challenge.
It's a huge challenge. Yeah.
I'm a control freak.
And I mean, and the same thing with the, you know, sort of with our COVID existence right now is that, you know, like the weather, we don't have any control over it. So how are we going to adjust to make it work while this is what we have? And that's what gardening is too, is that, you know, it may be cloudier 1 week than it is the next week. And how are we going to adapt to that, you know? And that's life.
That certainly is. What if someone listening wants to know if you're doing Zoom classes right now for schools or any kind of community groups? Are you available?
You know what? It's interesting because that's something that I'm looking into. I do Zoom classes for elementary school. I do about 30 Zooms a week. And I'm starting to look into, now that I've sort of launched into the holiday season and am in the thick of that, part of my next planning phase is to figure out how I can do more online outreach and community outreach via Zoom and via things like that, so that I can, instead of doing live classes, which I have done in the past, and do on a super small scale with just a family at a time kind of thing, I'm trying to figure that out for the new year. So that'll be, I think, my next exciting thing.
Can people get updates then on plantgroweat.com?
Yes, actually, good point, is that I'm trying to, one of the things that I have not been as successful at as I would like to have been is doing email updates. And I do have a subscribe button on my plantgroweat.com where I'm going to be better at and more consistent at email updates. That's something that I'd like to do, is just give a little touchstone of here's what's going on, here's what you can plant in your garden, here's what season it is, and then also here's what's coming up on plantgroweat.com, which would then sort of be part of how can we continue to branch out in our community aspect.
With all that you're doing and mentioning that you haven't been doing as many updates as you want on email, what is one of your favorite time management tips? Or honestly, how do you do all of this? I'm wondering that because it sounds like a lot.
Well, yeah, time management has always been a challenge. It's a challenge for everybody. I think that's where my production experience comes into play, where I'm a list maker. And I have a list of sort of these are the 10 outstanding things I'd like to tackle. And I just constantly prioritize them. Lists are fun for me. So it's really to me about finding a way that works for the individual. And that's what happens to work for me. And then, like, I know it's cold season and it's only going to stay cold season for a certain amount of time. So I got to get the plants in, higher priority. Yeah, and I think that in terms of developing my business, for example, or really launching, like doing the Jackalope Art Fair was a priority for me. So I made sure that I prioritized that. And then if some things slip away, like my email updates, then some things slip away. And that's okay, because at some point I'll do another one and we'll catch back up. And, you know, we're all just kind of, there's a finite amount of time. And we need to be able to let some things go and be okay with that.
Goes right back to what you were saying before about flexibility.
Yeah.
What would be your Christmas wish this year for anybody listening?
My Christmas wish for 2020 is to unite. I mean, and it's, you know, I have a shirt. I hate to bring it back to merchandise, but I have a shirt available through something I just started called the Artist Spotlight area, where I hooked up with a local artist and I'll hook up with other local artists in the future. And together we came up with the design of a t-shirt that we're offering called Grow Together. And it's really about, you know, putting all of our differences aside and coming together. And that's what we've got, you know. And if we can grow food together, you may like kale, I may like spinach, let's make a salad. It's, you know, that's the same lesson of the world, is let's figure out how we can work together and get to where we need, which is at this time figuring out the corona stuff, which would be awesome, which it sounds like we're getting closer and closer every day, but also in the world figuring out our racism and bigotry issues, and being able to really accept each other and work with each other, not even just accepting each other, but, you know, respecting each other. And we're all people and we're all in the world. And let's do it.
Whitney, thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Yeah, and like I said, I'm very excited about the Jekyllope Art Fair. There's so many small artisans who are offering things of all, you know, different price ranges and such a variety of things that I'm excited to be a part of that. And I'm also excited to be further launching at plantgroweat.com. And I really appreciate your time letting me talk about it. Thank you.
Thank you. You and I have been listening to Whitney Wade, proprietor of the new small business Plant Grow Eat. Currently, Whitney is one of the exhibitors in Jekyllope Art's virtual holiday market, which runs from now through Friday, December 18th. Get a look at her garden kits, as well as her Plant Grow Eat shirts and other merchandise on jackalopeartfair.com. That's jackalopeartfair.com. And check out her blog and her new products in the new year on her website, plantgroweat.com. Once again, plantgroweat.com. And follow her on social media, on Facebook at Plant Grow Eat Food, on Twitter and Instagram at Plant Grow Eat. And be sure to join her Saturday mornings on Instagram for her Weekends in the Garden series. And that concludes this edition of Noellophile. Thank you for listening. And may your Christmas season be green, vibrant, and sparkly.